excuses. On the phone line, out in Oklahoma City, we got Tracy McDaniel on the phone line from KIPP. How you doing today, Tracy?
I'm doing quite well, Paul, and thank you for inviting me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show today. I posed a question to my constituents. Should public schools adapt the format of KIPP? And I'm getting a variety of different comments, but I want you to tell us a little bit more about KIPP program and how is it different and what is the success that you have seen at KIPP?
I think that, I know that KIPP is successful because of our student-based learning and because of high expectations for all kids. We expect all children to learn. Absolutely no excuses. And so we do whatever it takes for our kids to learn. When you say we take phone calls at 9 o'clock, we absolutely do. But let me tell you what that would do for a child. Mm-hmm. And for the teacher. If you took 10 phone calls on question number 10, well, you know right now that's immediate feedback. Well, you got to go back and reteach that lesson tomorrow. Because of that question. Well, in a record setting, it may take you 3 to 4 days to actually grade the paper or either do an assessment. But guess what? If you had a broken foundation on Monday and you taught on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all that's on a broken foundation. So you can imagine where we get off track sometimes with public education.
Right, right. Are you seeing public schools adapting the format that you have, you guys at KIPP have put in place?
Well, we haven't seen a significant adaptation yet, but we hope to be a tipping point. Mike Feinberg, the founder of KIPP, he has the viewpoint that he takes his presumption off of FedEx that and the post office. The post office will never do next day delivery until FedEx got a 10% market share. So we want to create enough KIPP schools. If we just had 10%, and that's what Mike is doing in Houston now, then we can change the entire school district. So he's trying to get 10% of Houston public schools. And now Houston is actually saying, we need longer school days. We need to work on Saturdays. So we're pushing them a little bit. And you know, competition, it's good. That's a good thing.
Where are you at? Where's KIPP at when it comes down to the assessment test? I don't know if we in Michigan, we have the MEET test. I don't know what they have in Oklahoma.
We have a state test as well, and then we do national tests. Our state tests, our kids are coming to me, and I have the traditional middle school. I just have one school in Oklahoma City at the present time. So we have 5 through 8th grade. So my kids are coming to me 2 and 3 grade levels below in reading and math. By the end of 8th grade, we have the highest performing 8th grade in the state of Oklahoma. And that's because we have more time on task, more time for the kids to learn. We have extended school days, so I can do a double block of math and a double block of reading for 4 years in a row. I can actually catch the kids up and put them on par for college prep curriculum for high school, because our goal to get this through college, not to college, but through college.
Wow, wow. How long has KIPP been around?
KIPP was started in 1995 by two guys, Mike Feinberg and Dave Levin. They were 24-year-old teacher alumni, and they got together in Houston and co-taught for a year. And then Mike wanted to do a charter school. They wanted to keep those kids. They had them in 5th grade, and they wanted to keep those kids through a middle school because there were no choices for the kids to go to. And initially, Paul Houston said no. And so Dave moved back home to New York City. The chancellor granted him a charter. And then Houston said, wait a minute, we're not going to lose both of these guys. So Houston gave Mike a charter. In 95, they started these two schools, one in New York City and one in Houston. By 1999, the school in the Bronx was the highest performing school in the Bronx for 4 years in a row. And the school in Houston was one of the highest performing schools in the entire state of Texas for the same period. And Don Fisher, the founder of the Gap stores, Doris and Don Fisher, the founder of the Gap stores, Old Navy, Banana Republic,
right.
They gave them $15 million in seed money to create a foundation that would recruit and train the leader for a solid year to replicate the success of KIPP. And that's where I came on board. That was in 2001. We had 3 schools. I came on in 2002. We had 10 schools that year. Today we have 99 schools nationwide in 20 states, and including Washington, D.C.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Tracy, majority of the kids are African-American Hispanic kids.
That is correct. 95. You have the stats right. 95% of our kids, low-income, African-American, or Hispanic.
So when you hear people say, so what, let's go back to public schools then. What is the significant difference between KIPP, a charter school, which is free, and a public school success? What is the difference? What are you dealing with that's different there? You got the same kind of dynamics there with poor kids.
Well, I would say, first of all, we are public, but we're charter. I would say there is no difference in our kids because we get the same kids.
Same kids,
so,
okay.
So if I'm a I have a middle school three blocks down the street from me. We have the same feeder schools.
Hmm.
The school down the street from me is the lowest performing school in the state of Oklahoma.
Wow.
And our school is the highest performing eighth grade class. They don't come to me that high, but after 4 years of extended school day, that's what they do. So the difference is, we have high expectations. So we believe all kids can learn. Now, here's the excuses in my neighborhood. The kids can't learn because, you know, single-family homes. Kids been raised by grandparents. There are drugs in the community. The dads are in prison. So these are all the excuses you always hear. And we're saying, okay, we know all those on day one. And that it's a crying shame if I fail your child in May, where I knew in August his dad was in prison. So we're saying, let's create a program. But when the kids walk through the door, if you give them the skills they need to learn, they can learn. Because and I tell you on the phone prior to the interview,
mm-hmm.
I know in Detroit public schools you have some outstanding sports teams.
Right.
And we do here too. That's what really gets me upset, because in my neighborhood here we have the lowest performing schools in the state, but three of the four high schools won the state championship in basketball in March.
Wow.
And I know that those basketball teams outworked everyone in the state. It just wasn't by talent. Those kids got up early, went to practice, joined the breaks, and they studied hard. They had desire, discipline, and dedication to do that job well. So now what we got to do is a transformation within my community and do the same thing with the academics.
So take what we do in athletics and apply it into the classrooms.
Well, let me ask you, let me ask you a question. Nowhere in the world but sports can you take a special education child and he can be all state in whatever sports he's in. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Have you seen that before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, people say this kid is special ed, but he's a quarterback. Now, how in the world can you be a quarterback and be special ed?
No, you sound right.
That kid is bringing some skills to the table. We just are losing him in the academic setting. So what we should try to do is turn that around. I mean, in actuality, we tell parents the students should be able to do a parent conference with the parent. They do in sports, in the sports world, on the basketball team. So your child will let you know, hey, I can't shoot a left-hand layup. I can't shoot free throws well. Here's my script, what I'm going to practice on. This is what it's going to take me to get in the ball game. This is what it's going to take me to stay in the ball game. And they get it done. It should be the same way in the academic field. And so with this longer school day, we can focus on those things. We focus on reading and math.
Wow. Well, I wonder how our community is going to feel about this. No, because you guys don't have a school in Michigan. Are you working on getting a school in Michigan?
Well, right now KIPP is working on growing deeper instead of wider. So they're trying to develop the markets where they are. For example, my school is a middle school. I can't sustain this model every year. The kids are coming to me two and three grades below. So what we try to do is grow an elementary school and grow a high school. So KIPP is focused on that right now, but we're not going to rule anything out. But right now we're focused on that. But there are other good charter organizations as well. They just got to believe in the concept of academics. We have a president in the White House that's preaching the same thing. You know, put away the Xbox, do your homework, 2 hours of homework. That's what KIPP is doing. What Barack Obama said in his last educational speech, or either Arne Duncan, that's what KIPP is doing.
What is the commitment from the parents?
The parents do sign a commitment, but then people say, well, you got a different parent. But I'm here to tell you, for the most part, Paul, they have no intention of following that commitment. So we got to ensure that they follow that commitment. What we want them to do is just make sure the child's doing their homework, which is still difficult. And so we pretty much reach the parents through the kids. A lot of times the parents are not on board. They put the kids in the school. You know, they want the best for the kid, but when they see what we ask for, they're not on board. So usually when they see the kid turning around, the parents jump on board. But really, you know, they just make sure they're doing their homework. If they don't understand their homework, call the teacher. I mean, this work is difficult. I mean, I had Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 in high school, and Alvin won in college, and it's still hard for me to sub in my own building.
Hmm.
So the work is challenging and rigorous.
Right.
But so, you know, if the parent may not be able to do that for the child, at least they can make sure the child calls the teacher. But in some cases, we call the child anyway.
Right. Now, so you're talking about school hours at about 9.5 hours, right? About, what is that?
That's correct.
What about food? Do they eat more than once? Or how do you handle that?
Well, we have the kids eat breakfast, they eat lunch, and then since we're at the school program, we have snacks too. So two full meals and a snack.
Okay. And you guys get the same amount of money as public schools get?
No, that's not factual there. We actually get less.
You get less.
And I tell you why, because I don't get any local money. We don't get property tax money. We don't get ad valorem taxes. We don't get the local bonds. So we're operating less with less money. So that's the hard part about what we do with the charter schools here all across the country. We've got to raise money to kind of even the playing surface.
How do you keep the teachers involved then? Because that means they're making less money.
Well, we pay the teachers. We raise money. I got to go out and raise money from all areas, foundations, grants, and things like that. We raise money for the overtime for the after-school programs. You know, we're asking Congress right now for this time and learning grant. It's an after-school program. It's not even additional dollars. It's just letting more schools in the running or in the application process apply for those dollars if you have after-school programs. So things like that help fund our schools. So teachers actually make more money than KIPP schools because they work so much more.
Wow, wow. I'm looking at your test results on the website, and in every area, you beat Oklahoma City Public Schools Advance students.
Right, right.
Well, every category, right?
Wow.
Yeah. We focus on, like I said, reading and math. If the kids can't read, when they get to you in fifth grade, the game is over. And so what we got to do is go in and plug in all those gaps in the learning, make sure, and we got to make it fun. And that's the hard part. When you go to school 9.5 hours, no one wants to go to school longer if they're doing the same old thing. So we try to make learning fun. We do rap songs and rote memorization. The kids already know the rap songs. We just change some of the cursing to math. And so they learn in that kind of a way. And when you have an extended school day like we do, you can plug in those gaps, get those kids the skills that they need. And once we develop the math and the reading in the fifth and sixth grade, by seventh grade, my kids are on a college prep track. So my kids even have goals. So, you know, if you interview one of my kids today, they would tell you their goals. They take pride. You know, passing the exams. They take pride in making an advanced score. So they set their goal this year. Their goal was for everyone to make an advanced score, not just pass the test. So I think that's why we beat the district all across the country. In the district, our goal is pass the test.
Great big rock.
Kip, we're saying we're going to make advanced.
Wow.
And we're saying, why not? Why not us?
Right.
So I got some kids in this building actually made 100%. On their reading and their math test. And you don't have that many African-Americans in the state of Oklahoma making 100% on the state exam.
Right. Wow. And it sounds like you guys found a way to teach in a different, not the normal, you know, I'll stand in front of the class, I mean, teach. And it sounds like you guys found different ways that the kids would enjoy. And that's just like with a job. If you don't enjoy going to your job, then you're not going to perform at your highest standards.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like to me, like you guys found a way to make education fun as well as teaching.
Well, you know, Mike and Dave, they were inspired by the educator Harriet Ball. She just passed away in this past February.
Heard about it.
But they were inspired by her and the way she taught her classroom. She taught these kids these songs with music and rap. I mean, and she got every kid engaged in the learning. And once you do that, you know, game over. We're on our way. Just no different from sports then. But because kids don't like school. It's boring. They get tired of it. You got to let them have some fun at school, too.
Right. Now, Tracy McDaniel's on the phone line from KIPP. College Preparatory Middle School in Oklahoma City. What about on weekends? What do your school do on the weekend?
KIPP opens the doors on average about once a month on the weekends for enrichment activities as well as tutorials. So some of the enrichment classes that they do, arts, crafts, dance, taekwondo classes, sports, and it's just all sorts of things. And these kids are the first ones here at school. Sometimes they beat the teachers. And then we do tutorials too. You know, if we need to plug in some gas for kids, we do that as well. But it's about once a month.
Wow. Are your kids now in college? Have they moved on to college?
Well, my first group of kids came to me in fifth grade back in 2002. I am proud to say that group went to college this past year. And now my second class is going to school. Out of that first group of kids, I had 31 kids. Most of the kids, and this is nationwide, I would say 75% of our kids stay local within a 100-mile radius of their home. But then we have some kids actually going to schools across the country. So I have kids attending Mount Holyoke in Springfield, Mass., Union College,
wow,
right outside of Auburn, New York.
Right.
And I even have an Oklahoma City kid attending Princeton University.
Wow.
And you know what? A grade came out, 3.50 at Princeton University.
3.50.
Wow.
So that's like my own child there. I take ownership. I tell the mom we're going to share this one it's exciting.
Tracy, when you hear people say that, well, our black kids are different. We're different. And they make mockery of the black schools. Do that bother you?
Yes. As an African-American male, I got robbed of an education myself. I grew up three blocks from where I'm teaching right now.
Hmm.
And the things that we're teaching in this school, I didn't get. For example, my kids, on average, read about 35 to 40 novels a year.
Wow.
I received my first novel in college.
Wow.
So I was robbed. And it was a great gas. I'd never forget that. I'm thinking, my God, it's a nice book. I was never given a book. I'm 54 years old. And so I was robbed of that education. So I just see, there is an achievement gap, and I see the reason why. But schools like KIPP are coming in here and saying, you know what? No excuse.
I'm gonna ask you some other things. I know it said 15 minutes. We don't went overboard, and I hope you
hope
it's okay with you.
I'm fine. If we can make a difference in Detroit, that's a win.
Right. I had a question about Muskegon.
Okay.
I got a question for you. Special education.
All right.
Is it special education? Is it a lot of kids in special ed?
We have about 11. You mean nationwide?
Yeah. In KIPP.
KIPP is about 11% special ed.
Now, in some public schools, is a higher rate than that. So you look
at some public schools are higher, some public schools are lower. But on average, you would say between 10% and 15% of all public schools.
Right. So do you look at it different? Do you treat it differently? Do you believe that some kids are in special ed that shouldn't be there?
Oh, absolutely. I give you a good example. We do full inclusion here at our school. And full inclusion means you have a kid in the regular classroom all day long.
Okay.
We modify some of the instruction. But the way we teach with this rote memorization, with the music, with the chant, those kids pick right up with the rest of the kids. Because I guarantee you, a special ed kid knows the rap music anyway.
Right.
Any special ed kid they know, unless it's just severely MR or something like that, these kids know all kinds of things.
Right.
They're just not successful in school. They're successful in sports, like I said before. They can go out and make All-State in football and basketball. they can sing, dance, and rap. They have talent. We just got to transfer that talent to the classroom. And the way you do it, you got to make it fun for them in the classroom. And you got to show them that they can learn.
Right. Now, earlier today, I asked you, can you tell me something that is, we know the pros of going to school longer hours, and we know the pros of what KIPP has been able to do nationwide. Is there a downside to this whole thing?
Well, I don't see any downside, but I will say this. The hardest part about this longer school day is like a paradigm shift for my parents.
Okay.
Because they're not used to it. And so we got to sell the premise that, hey, these kids go to after-school daycare or wherever they're going anyway. They're not at home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At least leave them with me. I can help with their homework. You can save money from your daycare. You drop them off when you come to work and pick them up when you get off work. But it's still a paradigm shift for parents. Parents cannot conceptualize initially at KIPP, you have a longer school day.
Right, right.
But when a child starts learning, they got it because now they're my biggest recruiters.
Do you drop your kids off? Are they getting bus service or are they responsible for their transportation?
Well, KIPP school is different across the country. In Oklahoma City, we don't provide busing. Most of our schools do, but Oklahoma City doesn't provide busing to any of the specialty schools. They eliminated that a few years ago. Some charter schools have picked that back up lately, but in my case, I just have the parents drop them off before they go to work, and they pick them up when they get off of work.
Right.
And so they're in a safe environment, and they're learning, and the parents actually trust us. You know, as we work for a while, they begin to trust us because we should be on the same team.
Right.
I mean, we're educating their child, so in my school per se, and all KIPP schools may not be like this, but we operate on a first-name basis. I mean, I want the parent to call me Tracy.
Wow.
Because it's easier to say, Tracy, I got a problem. I mean, you still got the problem, but we're going to work this problem out together.
Right.
And so that's the biggest negative for me would be that raising money,
okay,
you know, to fund the program.
Fund the program.
That'd be the only hard thing that I do with that school program. Other than that, it's not that bad because the kids adapt to anything.
Right. What about the staffing? What is the demographic of the staffing?
Demographic of staffing nationwide with KIPP is probably a lot of TFA, Teach for America.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people locally in the last 4 or 5 years signing on board as we're growing.
Okay.
I would say probably around 50-60%, maybe white, and then maybe 40% black or others.
So more African Americans than normal.
Well,
school.
No, it's more white. I think 50-60% white.
Yeah, I mean, what I mean, and like, maybe, then some schools you might go in, you might see 20% African Americans, and really don't see a lot of males.
Oh, get this. The national stat for elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
1% of all elementary teachers in American schools are African American males.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And about 30% of African Americans. Period.
Right.
So they don't see that. So we try to make sure that we get African Americans in front of our kids. Or we're in Hispanic school, Hispanics in there as well. But you know, we don't go after that.
Right.
We're gonna take the best person apply for the job.
For the job. That's right. That's right.
But now, you know, Devin will help me if I have an African American come in with those skill sets.
Right. So if public schools maybe went to a longer school hours. And had that commitment level there, you think we'll see the results?
I have I will tell you this, absolutely. Because if, say, I didn't do KIPP, I had to go back to regular school,
mm-hmm,
I'd run it just like KIPP. Because I know it works.
Okay.
I know it works. I know what I did before I had KIPP. I was the principal of the lowest performing school in the state of Oklahoma for 1 year when I got that job. And I thought I was there to save that community. And I'm in the same building, by the way, now. Well, 10 years ago when I got my job.
No.
And we have the lowest performing school in the state. And my mandate was to get them off that list. And it was a hard job to do that first year, and we got them off that list. But here's the problem. All the stakeholders were elated that we passed the test, but we were the lowest performing school that passed the test. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. There's low expectations for our kids.
Right.
And so I got there, and then KIPP knocked on my door, and I took a job. I come full circle. I'm in the same building. They moved that school out. It's the elementary school below me now.
Mm-hmm.
But now I got the highest performing eighth grade class in the state. Same community, sometimes the same siblings as the school that I had before.
Wow. Just change around. How's the discipline in KIPP school?
Discipline is no nonsense. I mean, that's pretty challenging for parents. We got to teach the parents right off the bat, hey, I'm not going to tolerate this. And this is the reason why, because it's going to stop your kid from learning. And most parents are on board with that until it happens to their kid.
Okay.
I mean, they want you to police everybody else's kid in the world, and they buy into it until their kid gets in trouble, and they get that phone call. And I got to, you know, explain to them, hey, you know, I'm just protecting all kids. So we don't tolerate it. I mean, we have behavior problems. We just know different than anybody else. But we teach them this is not acceptable. So I give you an example. We focus on little bitty issues.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we don't have the major issues. So, yeah, for example, if I focus on a tardy, well, I don't have an absences. If I focus on just some regular, you know, not bringing your pencil to class,
right,
I don't have the major distraction in class. We make every issue a big detail.
Wow, that's something.
And so the kids don't go. I mean, they know if it's something more than just a tardy, they know they're in trouble. So They make the kids, get them to school and things like that. Because we focus on little bitty things,
mm-hmm.
so we don't have the big things. I mean, so if I focus on teasing and horse playing,
mm-hmm.
then I don't have the fights.
There you go. There you go.
But I treat teasing like a fight, though. I treat teasing and horse playing like a fight.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, are you confident with the students that you prepare for high school there that you would put them up against any other middle school in the country?
I have all the confidence in the world.
That's
matter of fact, I'm in awe of my own students, especially when they come back in high school, because I put them in positions to go to great high schools that I didn't have opportunities to go to or attend. So when they come back, they're humble. That's the one thing, and we teach that as well. Because, you know, you got to respect your families, too, because they're going to outgrow their families. You don't watch it.
Right.
So they're humble and they're intelligent, and they want to give service. I'll put my kids up against anyone.
Wow. Tracy, thank you so much. This has been enlightening. We went past your timeline. I know you got school there in Oklahoma City. But I'm just sitting here that's in awe of all the work, all the success you guys have had there. Now we're gonna take feedback from people here because I wanted to pose this question because you go to other countries and you see how education is a priority to them.
That's correct.
It is like their religion. And
the teachers are called masters over there.
Right.
They have ultimate respect and esteem.
In here, you don't see that as a priority. It's like education is not one of the top things you see on the priority list. At least it don't appear that way.
Well, education, it should be our next civil right.
Right.
Because if we don't fix this thing here now, we're not going to be a superpower.
There you go.
I mean, we will not be able to run our military in the next 15 years. If we cannot get our kids educated. Right now, we're 25th and 21 in math and science in the top 30 countries in the world.
Wow.
If we can't get, and we were number one in 1970.
Right.
But the last stat that came out said we're number one in the world in confidence. So our students have confidence that they can do anything.
Right.
But in math and science, they're 21 and 25.
21.
If we can't continue that path. Now, we've got the best universities in the world. But all of our kids don't go to college.
Right.
And that's a whole other issue we need to discuss next time.
Right.
Only 8% of kids in our area, low-income area, are completing college in 6 years.
Wow. What do you think about boarding
8%.
Schools?
I got kids in boarding schools. And, I had a bias before I ever thought about what a boarding school really was.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, when my kids started experiencing boarding schools, they were some of the best education in America. I got kids at Andover, Deerfield, the Hoschel School. And my student who's attending Princeton right now, she went to Deerfield for 4 years.
Okay.
So it's in Deerfield, Massachusetts. It got her prepared for Princeton. 8 kids in a classroom.
Right, right, right.
You know, but she's on scholarship, $50,000 a year scholarship.
Wow.
And so it's my God, my kids are unreal who have attended boarding school. They're just unbelievable.
Right.
And those are the kids I'm really in awe of when they come back home.
Can you give out the website for your school?
Yeah. Our website is www.kip, spelled KIPP, reach, spelled REACH, .org. And the KIPP Foundation is www.kipp.org.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. I'm going to have to be talking to you, man. We're going to talk again. Keep up
Let's
the good work.
Again.
All right. Keep
All right, Paul.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tracy McDaniel. Oklahoma City, principal of a school in Oklahoma City, African-American school, 90%, 95% African-American Hispanic. And this goes back to the question that I posed on Facebook. Do you think public schools should follow the successful KIPP format of longer school hours? The lines are open. We'll take a break, come back. 231-722-8338. I want to hear folks who are against, for, or any other opinion you might have about this subject for the next 25, 30 minutes. 231-722-8338. Be right back. This afternoon jams, 103.7 of the